Open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. It'll be our text this morning. I spent quite a bit of time this week with a man who was at the end of his rope. He was overwhelmed with feelings of frustration and disappointment. He was sad and he was mad. He was disappointed in his family. He was disappointed in his friends and community. He really was disappointed in God. And he wasn't suicidal, but he did say he wished he had never been born. That's pretty low. And I know I shouldn't, but I want to tell you this man's name. I call him Jerry, which is a nickname. His former name's Jeremiah. His full name is Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest of Anathoth. The prophet Jeremiah from the Bible. Did you know that Jeremiah felt that way? Jeremiah prayed one of the most pitiful prayers ever prayed. And I want us to take some time to look at it this morning in Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. We've been looking at a few of the desperate prayers of the Bible. We've seen the prayer that the children of the Hebrew children prayed in Egypt, crying out for deliverance. We've seen the prayer of David after his sin when he was seeking forgiveness. Last week we looked at the prayer of Hilkiah, the good king of the southern kingdom of Judah, asking God for victory. This morning we come to this bottom of the pit kind of prayer that Jeremiah prays in chapter 20. When I first started studying the Bible and came across this prayer, I can remember thinking, I'm not sure that that ought to be in the Bible. It's so sad and pitiful. Before we read the prayer, I want to make sure that you remember some things about the life of Jeremiah. The Bible tells us that Jeremiah was born in a kind of a suburb of Jerusalem, a little village, Anathoth, just outside of Jerusalem, just a mile or two outside of Jerusalem. And it was a village dominated by priestly families, the descendants of Abiathar. And as we study his story, we realize that Jeremiah was educated. He had a little bit of money. He kind of came from the upper crust. And we know that he was born and came of age in a period of religious reform. Josiah was the king and he was setting things straight. And when he was just a teenager, God called him to be his prophet to the nation. Remember, Jeremiah said, I can't do that. I'm just a youth. And the Lord said, don't say that, Jeremiah. Everywhere I send you, you'll go, and all that I command you, you'll speak. And then God touched his mouth and equipped him to be his prophet. And thus begins a ministry that lasted over 40 years. For over 40 years, Jeremiah preached in the city of Jerusalem. And one of the things you need to know about Jeremiah is that his ministry, his message, put him in a kind of a double bind. First of all, it was a difficult ministry because his was a message of destruction. His job was to stand in the city of Jerusalem and declare that that city was going to fall because of their ungodliness. His job was to stand up and preach that a godless invading army was going to prevail over Jerusalem. It'd be like me having the task of standing in Washington, D.C. and declaring year after year that the enemy was going to overcome us and we might as well not even try to resist. That was his message, doom and destruction. That's not a pleasant task. On top of that, we realize that Jeremiah preached this message for 40 years. So for the first few decades, he's proclaiming doom and destruction when the people are experiencing security and prosperity. And so they started making fun of him. Old Jeremiah, terror on every side, preaching doom and destruction, more of the same. But this delayed fulfillment made him look like an idiot. And he lived that way for 40 years. So when you study the life of Jeremiah in the scriptures, you're struck by the question, when's he going to quit? Because he has such a discouraging task. And in the book of Jeremiah, we see six different times when Jeremiah bears his soul and complains. There are six different complaints where Jeremiah says, God, I can't do this. This is awful. I quit. And what we're going to look at this morning in Jeremiah chapter 20 is the sixth of those complaints. It's the last, the great, the worst of all the complaints where he's really hit rock bottom. And I think it's an important prayer for every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ to know and understand. You look at Jeremiah chapter 20 and see how one of the reasons why Jeremiah endured was because he knew how to pray when he felt disappointed. Look at Jeremiah 20. I'll read beginning in verse 7. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. That's a strong Old Testament word that sometimes is translated seduced. God, you seduced me. You tricked me. You deceived me. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. That was his message. Violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. Jeremiah says, I tried to quit. I say, I'm not going to preach. But Lord, you've done something to me. I'm compelled. Verse 10, for I have heard the whispering of many, terror on every side. You understand that? Jeremiah says, when I walk down the street, I can hear them mocking me. I hear their whispers. Oh, here comes old death and destruction. The one that's always proclaiming terror on every side, hellfire and brimstone. Here he comes. Jeremiah says, I hear it. They say, denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall. Say, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge. Verse 11. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. That word dread means terrible. A terrifying champion. It's the only time this word in Scripture is applied to the Lord. The picture of Jeremiah is everybody's lined up against me. The Lord is the only one on my side. And he's a dread champion. He's a mighty warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will utterly be ashamed because they have failed with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgiven. Yet, O Lord of hosts, you test, you examine the righteous. You see the mind and the heart. Let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have set forth my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the soul of the needy one from the hand of the evildoer. Verse 14, cursed be the day when I was born. Let the day not be blessed when my mother bore me. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying a baby boy has been born to you, and made him very happy. But let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew without relenting. Let him hear an outcry in the morning and a shout of alarm at noon, because he did not kill me before birth, so that my mother would have been my grave and her womb ever pregnant. Why did I ever come forth from the womb to look on trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame? That word shame means disappointment. Jeremiah, the prophet, was miserable, honest, and somehow grounded. And he can teach us some things this morning about dealing with disappointment. I thank God that we have in the Holy Scripture, this prayer of Jeremiah. I want to share with you some practical things I learned from Jeremiah here. And for some, this may be truth that sets you free. The first is this. Jeremiah here in his prayer gives us the gift of realistic expectation. What do you expect your life to be like following Jesus? What are your expectations? Look what we learned from Jeremiah. It's really important. Our discouragement oftentimes comes from unrealistic and unbiblical expectations about life. And we need to know that this prayer is in the Bible. Jeremiah was a godly, kind, intelligent person. He was obedient. He did everything that God called him to do. And he suffered. Some of you think it's not supposed to work that way. Jeremiah was mocked and rejected. He was beaten and imprisoned. He was misunderstood and misrepresented and mistreated. It wasn't his fault. Some of you have spent too many years singing, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands." And you think that if you'll follow Jesus and do your best, you're always going to be happy and things are always going to work out the way you want them to work out. But haven't we learned already this year that Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation? Doesn't the Apostle Paul remind us that this life we're living is not permanent? It's not a house, a mansion, it's a tent. And Paul says, in this tent we groan. Here Jeremiah, good, kind, intelligent, obedient, suffers. I just graduated from college and was headed off towards seminary. When I was in a bookstore and came across a newly published little paperback book, the title was provocative to me. It grabbed my attention. I bought it. The title is Disappointment with God. And honestly, as a 23-year-old Baptist preacher boy, when I read that title, I thought, is that allowed? Disappointment with God. Philip Yancey wrote the book. I was 23, and I haven't, that wasn't really all that long ago, but I noticed when I pulled the book off my shelf this week that the pages are yellow and the price stamped on the inside cover is $4.95. But right at the beginning of that book, Yancey says something insightful. For many people, there is a large gap between what they expect from their Christian faith and what they actually experience. And that gap is called disappointment. The gap between expectation and experience. What we think we're going to get and what we get. And sometimes that's because there's something wrong with our experience, maybe. We're not trusting God. We're not obeying God. We're not walking with Him. Most of us assume that if there's that gap, there's something wrong with our experience. Either I'm not doing it right or God's not doing it right. But what I'm suggesting to you this morning is that most of the time that gap, that disappointment comes not because there's something wrong with your experience, but because there's something wrong with your expectations. You have expectations about the Christian life that are false and unbiblical. This is a fight, the Bible says. This is a race. This is a pilgrimage, a journey up and down, but we're not home. Marvel not if the world hates you, Jesus said. They hated me. So the Bible clearly teaches us to expect hardship, challenge, loss, frustration, even disappointment. When we're misunderstood or misrepresented or mistreated, then we're following the footsteps of Jesus. So the first thing that we get from Jeremiah here is just realistic expectations. We're not home. But second, I want you to see that Jeremiah also calls us to honest expression. Jeremiah is a model here of honestly expressing how he feels, his frustration and disappointment. He lays it out. And he's a model for us to follow. Really, Jeremiah is joining a great parade of biblical writers when he gives honest voice to his disappointment. First of all, he expresses his feelings to God in prayer, doesn't he? In words that border on blasphemy. He lays it out. And as we read them, we're thinking, should you pray that way? Is that appropriate? Here it is in sacred scripture. Do you think God could handle that kind of honesty? Let me tell you a deep theological secret. He already knows. That's what Jeremiah is saying, right? He says, he knows my reins and my kidneys, to use good King James Version. He knows my heart. He knows my mind. He knows everything that's in me. My emotions, my fears, my frustrations. He knows. And in expressing them to him, we're almost like a child letting his father see his sore, his owie, his wound. Let's see it so we can deal with it. And so he teaches us that we can honestly express our fears and frustrations, our disappointments in prayer. But God can handle that. Maybe you need to even follow his example of writing it down. Jeremiah wrote it down. This is how I'm feeling. Not just to God, but he expressed it to us, doesn't he? To other people. Can a man of God feel that way, say those things? Well, he did. Honest expression. Adoniram Judson was a great hero of the faith. First American Baptist missionary. Spent 40 years in Burma, Myanmar today. 40 years blazing the trail with the gospel. I'm going to say this slowly. You think about it. Adoniram Judson buried 2 wives and 5 children in Burma. And he was in prison for almost 2 years, in a prison so nasty and despicable that I can't even articulate or wrap my mind around it. He stood strong and he finished. But he went through periods of discouragement. In fact, there was a season in Adoniram Judson's life where he went into the jungle, lived in a hut as a hermit, wrote home and said, "Burn all those letters I've sent to you." He gave away all of his money. He actually dug a grave and sat beside it and stared into it for days. And in that darkness, Judson wrote, "God is to me the great unknown. I believe in him, but I cannot find him." He didn't stay there, but he went there. A great man of God expressing his feelings and frustrations. Honest expression in prayer and with each other. Listen, brothers and sisters, the church should be more than a place where we smile and sing happy songs. And we should be a people that will let each other feel sad, express our feelings. Do you know why so many people would rather go to a bar than go to church? Because they can be sad in a bar. Sometimes we act like we're afraid that if a Christian is sad, somehow it diminishes the gospel. But that's not the gospel promise. It doesn't cast a shadow on the gospel. In this life we groan. And we can embrace those feelings of frustration and disappointment. Remember, the one that we call our Lord cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? So this prayer is a man, clearly Jeremiah, who's blown like a ship by the winds of strong emotion. He's cast about with disappointments and frustrations. But also, he's anchored somehow, isn't he? Something is holding him in place. And that something is his conviction about God. It's his faith. Realistic expectations, honest expression, but, and that's a key word in the text, isn't it? Verse 11. But set your anchor of faith. We observe this in Jeremiah's life. While the emotions are swirling, shame and anger and weariness, he never cast off his faith. In fact, at the center of his prayer, verse 11 and 12 and 13, there's this stubborn declaration of his faith. You see it? Verse 11, but the Lord is with me like a dread champion. He's with me. Hey, listen, this is an echo of the promise of God. God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, I'm calling you to a hard task. And the king, the princes, the people, they're all going to be against you, Jeremiah. But I am with you. And he said, Jeremiah, I'm going to make you like a fortified city, like a pillar of iron, like a wall of bronze. They'll fight against you, but they will not prevail over you because I am with you. And now Jeremiah, in the midst of the storm, says, but the Lord is with me. It's not how he felt. He felt all alone. This is what he knew. What God had promised. The Lord is with me like a dread champion. And verse 12 he says, yet this is what I know. God examines my heart. Everybody around me is misunderstanding and misjudging and misrepresenting, but God, he knows my heart and he'll give me justice. So verse 13, I will praise his name. See, this is what he knows. Let me correct some of you. I know this. Some of you have this wrong idea. Somehow you've gotten the idea that your faith is what you feel in your heart. You've got this idea that faith is what you feel, and strong faith means feeling strongly about something. Listen, that's the opposite of the truth. That's a lie. Your faith is not how you feel about life. Your faith is placed in what you know about life. And what you know about life is given to you by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what set Jeremiah free. He could express all of those feelings because he understood that how he felt was set apart from what he knew to be true in God. So he says, listen, here's how I'm feeling, yet this is what I know. God is with me. He knows my heart. He'll give me justice. I praise his name. See, when you understand this, that your faith is not how you feel, but what you know, then you don't have to be afraid or ashamed of your feelings. They're not faith. In fact, I suggest to you that when you can cling to faith like Jeremiah in the midst of overwhelming negative feelings, it's not because you have a weak faith, it's because you have a strong faith. Jeremiah is anchored to this bedrock. He is overwhelmed with feelings of disappointment and frustration, but, he says, I know God's with me. I know He judges my heart, and I'll praise His name. That's a person of faith. Last week in the Fellowship Hall service, they were singing a song. And it was an old hymn they were singing. My anchor holds within the veil. I looked over that group of young adults and realized they don't have any idea what they're singing. You sing it too, and some of you don't know. You know, Edward Motes, 1835, he was a cabinet maker, a layman in London. But he also wrote poetry and hymns. He wrote that great hymn that we sing often. One verse of which says, when darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. It's a direct reference to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, I think. My anchor holds within the veil. You understand the language? The temple sits in the midst of the people of God. At the center of the temple, inside the veil, is the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence, God's throne, and the place of sacrifice. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom because He had provided the once for all sufficient sacrifice for our sins. When we sing that no matter how the winds blow, my anchor holds within the veil, we're saying that we know some things that are more substantial than how we feel. We are anchored to the promise of the presence of God, the reign of God, and the sacrifice of God on the cross of Calvary. There are a lot of things we don't know. But bless God, there are some things we do know. He's with us. He reigns. And Jesus Christ died and rose again to give us a forever relationship with Him. We know this. And this is faith. Not how we feel. What we know. And Brother Jeremiah teaches us this lesson. When we feel overwhelmed, frustrated, disappointed, we can honestly express how we feel. Because that's not the foundation. Our anchor is set in something far more substantial. What we know to be true. And most of what we know to be true about God, we have learned at the foot of a cross. Bow with me for prayer. Father, we give You thanks for our brother Jeremiah. His honesty, his faith, for the way that he finished what You called him to do. And I pray, Father, that You had set us free as Your people. Free to express our feelings. Free to be sad. Free even to be disappointed. Yet, anchored in our faith. Father, I pray that some here, even this morning would finally set their anchor. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song of response this morning. As God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit and in His Word, we're called to respond. Some of you are dealing even now with a season of disappointment, discouragement, hardship, darkness that you never anticipated. The wind's blowing and the waves are high. You don't have to deny that. You don't have to pretend that's not hard or heavy. Neither do you need to let go of the anchor. Today you respond to God's Word, maybe here, maybe later this afternoon, by pouring your heart out to your Heavenly Father, expressing to Him and to some trusted friends. In a moment when we stand and sing, this front step is open as an altar. You come and pray. Some may be coming forward to join our church, and we'd be happy to help you with that commitment. And some of you here have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You've thought that to be a Christian means you have your life straightened out and you're always happy. You walk through the day with a plastic smile. But today you realize that you can come to the Lord Jesus just as you are, with all of your hurts and disappointments. You can come to Him and pour out your heart before Him. He'll take you as you are and make you the person He wants you to be. He'll save you through the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Could you come to Christ today, seeking forgiveness and new life? Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. As we stand together and sing, you come.